Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I saw this video today, and it just kind of touched on everything, and it was like, we turn our hobbies into content, and then it becomes no longer about the thrill and the fun that it provides, but about the validation and accolades. And then we start doing this to a point where we let other people influence our trajectory and our excitement about this because we're worried about the comments associated with it more than actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn. Hey, what's up, guys? Up to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this is another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary.
Hey, hey.
We back. What if Hippie just leaves it in?
Yeah, just leave all of it in. The BTS.
Bars right there.
What's been going on, man?
Man,
new show, new shows.
Yeah,
though.
Man, you know, Churchy's out doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on the Varnell Hill show, the spinoff from Martin with Tommy Davidson.
Mm-hmm. With Martin, yep.
Yeah, with Martin's in. I'm on every episode that Martin's on. And tour's about to kick off again.
What's it called this time?
It's just the Ball Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just Kev and Tony are doing that freestyle comedy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon's hosting, and I'm going to feature, do like 12, 15 minutes. But yeah, man.
That's a good show. It's a great time.
Yeah, man. It's just, you know, still trying to work out. Still trying to fight to get one app. That's it. I don't want a whole lot, just like one good solid ab.
Would you want
ab.
Like one out of six and then the rest is not there? Or would you want just like one giant ab? Because that's basically a gut, right? A strong gut?
It basically is. I think I just want like, they ain't got to be fully like developed, but just like that curve. I mean, that straight line and then just like a break off. Just like, I think that, I would be satisfied with that.
What are you doing once you get them?
Lifting my shirt all the time.
Everywhere.
Like a hood dude. Just be like, shit, man, what y'all finna do? Just...
When rub they just my like chest rub a here.
Lot. You know, I probably wear a lot of button-up shirts so I could just unfasten them and just do my chest like this real quick. Maybe some capes. Thinking about investing
a
in capes.
A cape?
Yeah, bring
what's
that back.
What's I got to do with abs? What's I got to do with abs?
Because if I got abs, I might not wear no shirts.
Just cape.
Yeah, just might be
cape
a cape.
Cape and pants?
Yeah, man. You know, some James Brown type shit.
I can see it catching on a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you get the right rapper to do it. You know what I'm saying? The right influencer. You know what I mean?
Who do you think the most influential rapper is now, because a lot of people on the internet have been saying streamers are the new rappers because they've been basically like, it's almost like kids nowadays don't want to be singers and rappers as much as they want to be streamers, and streamers are making all types of money.
Yeah, kids these days don't want to do anything that requires work though.
That's true.
And streaming, you can literally do that from your house. You know?
Streaming is tough, man. I've had some. I mean, it's definitely not harder than
rapping.
Niggas who be saying streaming is harder than a 9 to 5. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's
but crazy. It's some work.
Yeah, no,
you be taking mental health breaks.
You have to constantly come up with something, you know, creative, innovative, stuff like that. But you know, we're rappers. Even the laziest rapper still has to have like breathing techniques down pack and
mm-hmm.
you know, breathing control and some form of literary devices where you understand rhyming or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then touring, if you want to make real money, you got to be able to tour.
Yeah,
streamers ain't really having to do any of that, so it's a different
getting
world.
Big bread. You saw Lil Baby kind of like pressed that one dude. He said he wanted half the stream revenue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No. He saw money coming in, and he was like, yeah, we splitting it down the middle right now. We breaking the stream down. He was like, all right, we'll talk. We'll talk about it. It was just like, damn, man. Shit is evolving. Shit is evolving.
What you gonna do? Tell the baby no? Because you know he probably got like 10 dudes with him.
He did have the goons. They were at, yeah, they were in Atlanta.
Oh, who house was they at?
Lil Baby's.
The streamer came over there to Lil Baby's house?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you got to get out of there. You want to make it out of there? You want to go see your family tonight? Is that? Because if not, then, you know, that's, yeah, streamers are making big bread, man.
It's
like,
that's crazy.
I don't even, I feel so old, like, even trying to start. Because I don't even know how I would start, like, what I would want to do with streaming, other than like I like reaction videos, like watching that shit, but I don't know how you get around that. Well, I mean, I guess on Twitch and shit, you don't have to worry about that on YouTube, but like on Twitch you can get around that shit.
The way I look at it, it's probably exactly how creators felt when YouTube came out, you know? Or every new app, they'd be like, "Ah, I don't want to do it." You know, that's just for the young people. And then YouTube became what it was, and then it was just like,
it's another thing to learn, and not just learn, it's another thing to master.
Yeah, but you're kind of halfway there.
Yeah.
A lot of people who get into streaming, they have to learn the basics of like being on camera, talking, being funny, being interesting, entertaining, and stuff like that. So we're doing it now.
Yeah. I mean, we actually are.
The chat's right there.
Technically, yeah.
You've been doing it.
I'm always impressed with somebody like a Tony Baker who can do verbal cardio. Like, just sit in a room and talk to the camera by yourself for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's very impressive as a psychopath that hasn't been caught yet.
Does he have a chat that he's talking to? Okay. So it's not just him talking to the camera.
Yeah, he's got his Patreon, he's got his chat, and then he'll engage with whoever's engineering.
Yeah, that's streaming. Stand-up people are the best at it. Bill Burr had a podcast. He was like one of the first people on podcasting, and his podcast was just verbal cardio.
He was just talking to the camera?
Just him. No chat. Really? Just him. And stand-up, y'all do that on stage. It's harder.
Yeah, I guess when I think podcasts, I automatically think about like a guest with the host or two hosts or something like that. But I mean, I guess you are right for the most part.
We streaming right now. And the fact that like Leah and Hippie, they can pull up Google and search stuff right now. That's what we do on stream. You've been doing it for years. I didn't even know.
You're absolutely right.
You're like, I don't know how
it
works.
I get intimidated by OBS and all of that type of stuff, like learning all of that. And
that is intimidating.
Having somebody come over, set the camera and the lighting situation up and sticking to that and then letting them do it and then not following their steps correctly if y'all need to recreate it.
Yeah.
That shit is intimidating. I'd be like,
almost every new tech, like... Every new tech thing that comes out, we remember when it first comes out and how hard it is, and that's what sticks in our minds. So then years go by and we're like, nah, it's too hard.
Yeah.
But what I realize is that since streaming is so big, they've come out with stuff that makes it easier. That's like super, like just for people who aren't really like tech savvy. Like,
yeah.
So OBS is super confusing to me, but now there's like, I use OBS Streamlabs, which is user-friendly for people who don't really know computers like that.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it's like it's super easy. Once you get it set up, like if you have like a Kadeem or somebody set up everything, I just sit down, start. And then it's literally this. Hey, guys.
Damn. How many hours do you commit to it a week?
From pandemic to... this year, I was very spotty because I had that old mind state. I was trying to build a YouTube channel, a gaming channel traditionally, which is like recordings, so that I can bulk shoot and shoot like 5 in a day. And then I got a comment that's like, why aren't you just streaming all this? And I was like, okay. Because when I do stream, the numbers were triple. So I went from streaming like once every few weeks to almost every day.
Damn.
But the thing is, I game, so gaming is not as creative. You just be like, I'm playing this today. But now, once a week with Planet Sandwich, I'll have like a written out, formatted performance once a week. And that'll be like 3 to 4 hours. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess I just have to figure out what the fuck I want to talk about for. You stream for like a couple hours?
For gaming, it's pretty crazy. Like today, I was able to do like 2 hours. But on a crazy day, I've done like 8 before. I'll do like 6 or 8. I think my record is 8.
8 hours of just playing a video game?
I guess
like if you're seeing the revenue from that and you're seeing people watching like during that time, like it's a decent amount, like I just was like, bro, I couldn't play a video game for more than an hour without feeling like a piece of shit.
Just doing it for too long, you mean?
Yeah. I'm like feeling like it's not work enough. It's not worky enough type of work.
Absolutely.
And I'm not seeing any return or any benefit on doing this. But I'm also not thinking about the element of people actually being in there watching you and donating and stuff like that. So
I mean, you gotta think about it as anything else. Like that first year, maybe for some people, years. It's going to be like the circuit when you probably started stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, like, very, like...
finding
not
your rhythm.
That many, yeah, finding rhythm, not that many people in the audience. Like, you really have to, like, because I've gotten a couple of my friends into streaming. It's like, you honestly, you wouldn't have to worry about this, but, like, you have to be cool with just, like, streaming for zero people, five yeah. people.
Mm-hmm.
And just being as engaging as possible and stuff. But damn. Honestly, I feel like stand-up comedians are the most equipped to stream. Mm. And that's why a lot of people don't like streaming, because it's like the format is new and the people don't be that funny. They don't be that entertaining.
Yeah.
But y'all are honestly the most equipped for this shit.
Damn, that's shit. Okay, how do you get around, like, how they be playing music and shit like that? How do you get around that on, like, Twitch and other things?
So, oh, and you, okay, so this is, I just had a meeting with a Twitch producer. Apparently, this is another thing. When we first heard about streaming, we heard about all these problems, but they're working with that. So Twitch actually partnered with some record labels. There are, you can have a DJ profile now, and you can get past all, because that was a big thing with Twitch. There's a lot of DJs on Twitch, but their stuff kept getting taken down. So mm-hmm. as streaming gets bigger, there's like more loopholes and like ways in.
Mm-hmm.
So music right now, there's games are starting to have streamer mode in their options, which basically turns off all of the licensed music and just plays like regular music, so that doesn't get flagged.
That's crazy.
And then like Twitch is working on stuff to make it so that if you DJ like popular music, you're good. So there's you just have to find out how, but
okay. Hey, we getting fine. Somewhere. We getting somewhere.
I'm locked in. I love it.
Really?
I love streaming. I don't gotta go nowhere.
Yeah. That's damn, the world has really changed, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's crazy.
Think of all them studio ideas in your head that you don't necessarily need a studio for.
Damn, that is true. Okay. All right, well, shit. Maybe next I gotta get a new camera, but I mean, I'm on that bit right there. And while we talking about on it, it is football season. We are amongst it right now. All the people that love football, this is your time to shine. And if you're watching it anyway, you know your favorite players, you know the stats anywhere, you might as well be on Prize Picks. Why aren't you on Prize Picks? It's the easiest way. All you have to do is pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If your picks hit it, you could cash in. Prize Picks is also the best way to get action on sports in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. And Prize Picks puts their users first. So all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. Listen. I don't know sports balls like that. So when we get these Prize Picks ads and I have to do this just so I can have personal experience, I literally just go on ESPN and just read what other people say, and then I'll pick 2 or 3 people and just get more than or less than. Now I've hit twice. Let's say if I played 3 times, I've hit twice, and I'm okay with that, because first of all, I like the fact that it's that easy. You just heard us have that whole conversation. I'm like, I ain't really trying to learn a whole lot of new stuff. It's super easy. You don't have to worry about that. So download the app today and use the code DIYS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That code is DIYS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks is good to be right. Be-do-do-do.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Oh, man, we got some shit right here. This is the... did we do this right now? Mm-mm.
Nope.
This wasn't the one we did on...
It was on the list. We didn't get to it.
Okay. A third of the Buddhist monks at a temple in northern Thailand have tested positive for meth. 6 out of 18 monks at the West Prothom Temple in Phiket, Providence, were disrobed after failing surprise drug tests during a police raid on Monday. First of all...
Who's related?
Right. When did they start doing drug testing on monks, bro?
Or police raids.
What are we doing, man? Y'all don't trust the monks?
What? They found some stuff. But I feel like if you are completely pledged your life, like you pledged your life to being a monk, no sex, I don't know the other rules, no meat maybe, but you're just completely like disciplined, you're isolated, you have to get all this spiritual awakeness, do a little meth. Do a little bit of meth. Smoke some weed. Like, I feel like if anybody deserves it, it's a monk.
It's them.
I guess meth is illegal though. So, yeah.
Habit one, they had to outer decluttering.
What?
I don't know. I was trying to look at it. It's 10 habits that monks, Buddhist monks have.
Decluttering, like their mind?
Are hard to adapt, but life-changing when you do. So outer decluttering, inner decluttering, taking care of others, meditating a lot, following the wise. In Western society, we have an unhealthy relationship with old age. But for Buddhist monks, they see elder people as having wisdom. They seek elder spiritual guides that can help them on their path. Listen mindfully without judgment. Yeah, a lot of us will have that fucked up. Change is the only law of the universe. I believe that. It's also the only constant, in my opinion. Without accepting the fact that everything changes, we cannot find perfect composure. But unfortunately, although this is true, it is difficult for us to accept because we cannot accept the truth of transiency. What's this word?
Transiency?
Transiency.
I don't know what it means, but
yeah,
I think I got through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone said, imagine being on meth and not being allowed to talk. That's crazy. I couldn't imagine. Like, what do high monks be doing?
Man.
Because meth ain't like normal high. I could see them smoking some weed, chilling out, meditating, but meth really gets you going. Like, what is a monk meth doing? Or a meth monk?
I don't know, man.
Ooh, what's that say? Can you scroll down just a little in the comments? Often Thai convicts are offered the option to live in a monastery versus prison on certain conditions, including sobriety. Well,
so maybe those were the six people that got kicked out. Some prisoners there that weren't really initially monks. They ain't really had their mind on the prize. You know what I mean?
You ever want to see me bald in a robe? No, I got prison time. I would much rather be in a monastery doing meth and praying. I don't feel like meth gets in the way with any monk stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the law, maybe.
I mean, I don't know how long meth has you high. So you might miss out on some meditation time because you got to meditate. I don't know how long they meditate per day.
I don't necessarily think meditation would be good on meth. I feel like your brain is going to... I've smoked too much weed and started thinking some stuff that I was like, I'm never going to smoke this much again. So I can imagine trying to calm your mind on meth. You must have some pretty dark thoughts.
Man.
Whoa, is that Ludacris?
Yeah.
Shout out to Ludacris. He's in an endurance warranty commercial. One thing I never judge is seeing stars in commercials like that, because they be getting bags. Like, I mean, Shaq.
Shaq with the General was crazy at first.
And Bengay. But he also has stock in those companies. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but Shaq got crazy businesses, bro. Papa John's. He got some car washes, some bowling alleys.
Doesn't he own the rights to Marilyn Monroe?
Does he?
Shaq?
Yeah.
What?
He owns some crazy rights. Hang on. What does...
Oh, it came up.
Thank God.
He does have a stake in the company that owns the rights to Marilyn Monroe.
Okay. So maybe that's why that list is so crazy.
Do you know he's the president of Reebok?
Is he?
And Allen Iverson is the vice president. They have a whole show about it right now that's on Netflix.
They have a reality show?
Yeah, like a series, like a limited series on Netflix.
Is it good? Sounds good.
I was watching it at the dentist. My dentist has a TV on the ceiling, so while he was fixing my teeth, I was watching it. I was like, wow, they really doing that.
Shaq and AI.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to run a shoe company in sports, that sounds like an amazing team.
I mean, they were the face of the company for years. It was literally Shaq and AI. You can't think of another athlete that was on Reebok that sold more than them. Shaq had the pump. Wow. AI had the answers.
What's it called again?
Power Moves?
Yeah,
Power Moves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching it. That's fire. Can you look up a list of companies Shaq owns? I feel like JCPenney's is randomly in there. And owns. Here we go.
Annie Ann's.
Papa John. Yeah. Annie Ann's. 24-hour fitness centers. Big Chicken.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one. Yeah, they used to have one in Glendale.
One Krispy Kreme, a large number of Five Guys, and he sold them all in 2016. Muscle Milk, and vitamin water.
Car washes. Car washes. Yeah, 150 car washes.
Dead celebrities. Okay, Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe. Elvis and Monroe? He owns the likeness to Elvis?
Stakes
in the rights.
Damn.
Is he not taught like a investment course or something like that? I feel like he's a wealth of knowledge.
He went back to school too, didn't he?
Yeah, and he put all his friends through just because he couldn't do private classes.
Yeah. Damn, that's...
I know a lot about Shaq. Why?
Shaq is that guy.
Where's this coming from? I feel like I saw a really impressive... I feel like I saw a really impressive interview where he said all this like in the most boss way possible. He wasn't even like, I own Five Guys.
He was just talking about, you know, 150. How many cars? How many watches?
Is JCPenney not in there?
JCPenney, they close a lot of stores. I can't really see JCPenney being a profitable company, right? Them and Sears are like almost on their way out.
He's the second largest shareholder of the company that owns JCPenney.
So that's, wait, Authentic Brands Group, that's the same one that had the Marilyn Monroe thing.
Okay, so he's a huge investor in companies that own these companies. I was just like, what is your day-to-day life? You're so busy.
So like he would have been trying to buy Reebok for the last couple of years. And they was like, no, you know, because Reebok got bought out by Adidas. Reebok was right under
is
Nike.
It
was number two for years with Nike being number one. And Adidas was number three. And then Adidas bought it. And they put themselves in that number two spot because they didn't really invest any effort or money into Reebok's design. And that's when Reebok had that long dry spell where nobody was like really fucking with them.
Wow.
And so now that he, him and his business partners, I think, copped it. And that's why he's president. Now they're trying to rebrand it and they're looking for the next superstars, and that's how Asia got her shoe deal, and a couple other athletes are looking to get the shoe deals.
Damn.
Because they got to get the whole rebranding together.
I would love to just see his schedule. Like, when does your big ass sit down?
When he goes car shopping? When they're dropping off those cars to him?
Because he's also an announcer on ESPN, isn't he?
Yes. That man gonna work. Shaq gonna work. He brought his son in to help, too, help him recruit the thing. His son is on the show, too.
How rich do niggas want to be? Because you think, like, after the Elvis purchase, you'd be like, man, I have a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, well, so what you going to do, though? Like, you get bored just vacationing, I would imagine. If you could buy anything, like, going somewhere, yeah.
You think it's boredom?
Yeah.
At some point, business?
Absolutely. And then, like, you know, you still got family members that still need stuff, so you can't just, like, eat off the savings. I mean, he probably could for all the money he has, but, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like once you get that rich, because every time I see an interview with Shaq, he's always saying that all the people in his family, like, he pays everybody's bills. Mm. So once you're that rich, I feel like your responsibilities skyrocket.
Yeah.
So you just got to keep getting it. But what's crazy is that there's even, like, niggas who born into money and got, like, handed a huge company, and they still make moves like they're going broke. So definitely seems like it must be boredom.
I love it, though. I mean, that's crazy.
I would love to be that type of bored.
I would like to be half as busy as Shaq. He seems like he does a lot. I wonder if he got his own private jet. He flies a lot, I would imagine.
He has
so
to.
Big.
Right. Yes. He's not doing no damn commercial. He needs two Delta One beds together. He has to.
He has to, right?
Yeah, there's no damn regulation doors for his big ass.
They show the PJ.
So can we search it? Can we see Shaq's PJ? Because
it has to have
custom seats too. Because he seems like he's rich but frugal.
Shaq's ball at $27 million private jet has sick customs.
It probably was that expensive just to get the seats that big. Whoa.
Nope. Where is it?
Damn, this nigga been famous for a long time. I'm used to how this Shaq looks. When I see old pictures, I'm like, oh shit.
Damn.
Ooh. He could fit in those seats, though? Not the Air Shaq.
Maybe the ones toward the back. Hey, Shaq just be living life, bro.
Bro, so unproblematic.
Bro, he got the his logo on the back of the jet.
Look how big this nigga is. How are you still that big on your PJ? He should have had like just like giant chairs. Look at that. Bro, this nigga is uncomfortably big.
That's a tablet in his hand.
That nigga's holding a laptop, an unfolded laptop right now.
Damn, man.
I'm about to go home and watch some Shaq interviews.
Bro, Shaq, he was smart, though. Smart with his money.
Imagine buying one thing for $27 million. Like, imagine checking your account and being like, all right, I'm about to just take $27 million out. I'll sell you.
And it's the thing, like, even with that, the fees are associated with it. Let's see. Despite previously expressing reservations about owning a private jet due to maintenance concerns, Shaq's growing business ventures and demand is going to likely influence his decision to invest in a personalized aircraft.
See, he seems frugal. I feel like he wouldn't have this if commercial airlines could fly his big ass.
Yeah.
He seems like he did this, like, fine. And he probably bought, like, one of the... I don't know him.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like it was personalized besides that logo for him. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's all it takes. Maybe all you need is, like, a little paint job at the end, and they'll be like, custom PJ right here.
I can imagine him doing that besides his schedule. Like, can you imagine Shaq walking through the airport? Like, he would get bombarded every day.
Right.
It would be... It would be so taxing on him to, like, have to land and then... go through security all the time. People like want a picture, all this type of stuff. Man,
he don't got time for that.
No, that makes sense.
That's so crazy. Like, I feel like the coolest thing about the rich people culture to me is the fact that, like, we know he's richer than, like, life. So when he does frugal things, it's not like it doesn't affect anybody. It's just like, oh, he's smart.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, you broke.
Right.
Whereas, like, in, like, black culture, it's like people try so hard to look rich. They're like, please believe me. Look at this chain. Look at all this. Please believe me. And it's just so cool to see, like, everybody who's actually rich are just like, man, I don't care what y'all think. Y'all
bro,
know I got
like,
money.
Yeah, he's like really like the Bill Gates with that shit. Like, you right. know. Because what was Bill Gates paying? $150 a day or a week?
On what?
To get that loophole so he wouldn't have to put a plate on his Porsche. He was paying like...
What?
Yeah. He was paying like...
What?
It was a loophole.
Why?
Bill Gates paid over $133,000 in storage fees for 13 years for his end-down the Porsche, was led to a change in the U.S. import law.
That's not the same
$28
thing.
A day. I'm sorry. So, yeah.
He's paying for storage? That's for storage, though.
It had to do with either the car wasn't street legal or him not putting a license plate on the car is why he was doing it.
Time did not meet U.S. safety and emission standards. Okay. Oh, so it was impounded.
But also, like, he didn't have a license plate on one of his cars for a long time. He found a loophole because he didn't want somebody to be able to, like, know his car.
Wait, they made it up, though. Wait, can you go down to that second? It says right there. It says, Gates' long-term effort with other enthusiasts eventually led to the show or display law, which allows historically or technologically significant cars to be imported under limited use conditions. So I guess him doing that, along with other things, made this new law. What's a Porsche 959?
There it is right there.
$28 must be so funny to him, though.
$28 a day.
For 13 years, though, and no one noticed. That's not horrible. Ooh.
Yeah, it's got that fancy spoiler on it.
That's the Porsche, though. Like, that feels like the Porsche you kind of think of when you think of Porsches.
No, that one is different because it's a little elongated in the back. The tail area is not like not.
It's like a Ferrari
like
booty.
Yeah. Like the Cruising USA Ferrari that they used to have.
You're saying like the 911 shape?
Yeah, it's not like that. That spoiler is way wider than a normal 911.
Yeah, I could see that. That's low-key the one I was thinking
yeah,
of. Yeah. I like the little frog eyes.
Yeah.
Frog eyes. What's your favorite?
I never was a Porsche guy, man.
Why not?
I liked the truck when it first came out.
Really? I hate the Porsche trucks.
I liked the Cayenne when it first came out. But now I really love the Macan. No. What's the electric car?
Or something?
The electric car.
Porsche?
Yeah. Porsche's electric car is a...
Is it start with the M?
Thought it did.
Maybe, yeah, Macon.
No, the Takon. Taken.
Well, there's also a Macon.
Yeah, that's a smaller truck. So that's the one that's smaller than the original truck that came out.
Did you have like a car on your wall when you were small?
Nah, man, I didn't have a wall. I slept in the living room when I was staying with my grandmother. I didn't have a room. And then when I moved out at 14, I was staying in like basements and garages and upstairs.
How long were you at your grandma's?
I stayed there probably for like 4 years after we moved out of my sister and dad's house. Yeah. And then I moved in with my cousin when I was like 15 and a half.
So you never got like a customized room, like posters and my toys and stuff?
Nah.
So what kind of, did you have toys? Did you ever play with toys?
Yeah, I was big on Ninja Turtles. I really like Ninja Turtles. That's when we were staying with my sister's dad. So I had toys then, but like, I had a couple toys at my grandma's house, but they would just get lost or broken by somebody else, so I didn't really play.
So barely any toys, no posters. Mm-hmm. What else do kids be doing?
I ride bikes a lot. I used to ride bikes a lot.
Okay.
I love bikes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
A little childhood in there.
They're doing a lot of wheelies and stuff like that.
Football, like street football?
No, I couldn't play contact sports. Asthma.
I don't think I didn't know anybody who was tackling each other in the street. Like touch.
Yeah, no, they tackled.
They tackled. Where St. Louis, right, okay.
We didn't really have
like
that.
She wasn't playing video games. She wasn't playing toys. Ain't nothing on the wall.
Like six instruments.
Yeah. I mean, I played video games. I was like, Nintendo came out. I was on Nintendo. I was on Super Nintendo, heavy. GameCube, Nintendo 64 was big on that right there. Listened to a lot of music, too. I was big into music even back then. Like, I had tapes. Like, before CDs, I had a lot of tapes.
I wish I did that more. A lot of musicians I know were just like, no, I didn't play video games. I didn't watch that show. I was just listening to music all day. And I was like, it's pretty cool on the Wikipedia.
Yeah. I don't think I can say that. Like, but something about being in the Midwest, man, I feel like we got an opportunity to appreciate music from everywhere else. Like, so I was big on West Coast hip hop, like MC8, Richie Rich, E-40. Like, I knew all of them when I was like 12, 13, 14 years old. Hmm. And the same thing with the West, with the East Coast. I was big on Nas. I was big on Tariq and Peter Guns. I was Biggie. I had Biggie's first album, The Fugees. Like, I was already hip to all of them. I didn't play Sega. Somebody asked about Sega. I never played Sega. I was never a Sega guy. Always Nintendo.
I never had a Sega anything.
Yeah. I made a sled. Somebody said he made the sled. I did make the sled. Yeah, I was. Legos. I was big in Legos until I moved in my grandmother's house. I was really big into Legos.
What about like Hot Wheels? I didn't get no Hot Wheels.
I got a couple of them.
Like the loops and shit?
Yeah, no, I never got that.
People have like a lot of like niggas have stories about like beating each other up.
Yeah. My mama had flip flops. Well, she never used the Hot Wheel track. She used flip flops or used the belt. My mama's old school with the whoopings. Shit.
I remember the look of the sandal I got beat up with. It's like gray with some red trim. I don't even think she wore them. I think it was just a beating sandal. I don't think I've ever seen her wear those sandals.
What did you do the most as a kid?
What, like activity-wise?
Yeah.
Playing outside.
Yeah.
Playing outside, yeah, because we had like a mountain nearby. It was like a little wooded area, and I would just be like doing stuff like dirt pies and adventures and... It was imagination shit. Just like what the hell are you doing out there? I probably looked super special, super slow, super slow. But it was that and swimming and video games.
I was just thinking about something, and it kind of made me sad. It was like, damn, I do things really good to a level where I'm better than most people doing it, but I'm not great. I never chase perfection, and I always think like that felt like that hindered me and held me back. Mm-hmm. Like with tennis, with instruments, DJing, even to this day, like I do things so I get to a point where I'm really good and people give me accolades and I'm better than most, but I never chase perfection.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I never like went further, like pushed a little bit harder with things.
I think it's an attention thing. You know, the whole like master of, what was it?
Jack of all trades, master of none.
That's my life, because I low key am kind of envious of people who are just like, since when I was a kid, I wanted to do this and I spent my whole life just doing this.
Yeah.
Those are the people who become like super masters. Like even in boxing, like I'm not about to get in the ring with a nigga who's been boxing since they were 7 years old in Mexico.
But iron sharpens iron. What if they're going to make you better?
Like, they'll make me better, but like thinking I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like it's tough to like zero in on that. But I feel like if you want to do a whole bunch of stuff, you're probably going to be above mid at all.
Yeah. You're not going to be great at anything.
Right. So, I mean, but I think that people's like focus changes. I think if you do 10 things, and for these 5 years, you focus on three of them, and then you move on. You know what I mean? I feel like that's fine.
But here's the part that fucks me up, right? Because I had this realization the other day. It's like, perfection is ever-changing, right? It's an unattainable goal, because if you're always changing, right, your goals in 2 years won't necessarily be the same goals that you have now,
right?
So if your goals are changing, what you're seeking after or what perfection looks like should change as well. Right? So it's like, how do you become perfect at something, an art, a skill, a trade, or something, if in 2 years something could change?
I don't think you can. To me, I feel like I'm learning that like perfectionism is like a byproduct of just being a scary ass nigga, low key. Like, I feel
explain that.
I mean, I feel like, think about everything we do as creatives. Not even creatives, like just any new thing you do. People are so afraid of being like judged and embarrassed. So I feel like perfect to them is just like, I have to get it to a point where nobody hates it. And it's like, there is no perfect, you know? Like and I feel like the best advice I ever got recently was just like, it doesn't need to be perfect, it needs to be out. Like Seinfeld blew up season 3. Like, give it some time. But if you're waiting to make the perfect thing, you'll freeze up. And I'm Frieza when it comes to that. I'm fucking Ice Cube. I have so many ideas, and like if I have 1,000, 100 will see the light of day. People be like, you hella productive. You'd be like, man, if you only knew.
That's so crazy that you struggle with that too, because I know I do. I know I struggle with that. And being on this press tour with Kev has really helped, because he was telling me about like when he was talking about like Churchy season 1. He's like, Churchy season 1 was the best that he could do at that time.
Yeah.
Now Churchy season 2 is the best that he can do with where he is in life.
Right.
And I was kind of bummed with my special, because I was like, I wanted to record it 1 or 2 more times, but like, that's the best that I could do at that time. They only gave me one time, and I only had that one slot. And I saw this video today, and it just kind of touched on everything. And it was like, we turn our hobbies into content. And then it becomes no longer about the thrill and the fun that it provides, but about the validation and accolades. And then we start doing this to a point where we let other people influence our trajectory and our excitement about this, because we're worried about the comments associated with it more than actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, that was definitely me with DJing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to take something that I love so much, because I know me as a content creator, I'm going to want to film it at some point.
Yeah.
But then it becomes less about the art and the thrill and the fun that I just associate with DJing, and more so about what people think and my skill level and how far advanced I am and how long I've been doing it, all that type of. I put all of these barriers and boundaries around it, or stigmas on it, and I don't have to.
Yeah. I think two things. It's A, I think every content creator struggles with this, because you're making something that you care about and letting the internet judge it, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like Tyler, creator, called it like, he had this interview where he called it like treating things too precious. Like, things that you really care about, you make them like too precious, and then it becomes like this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I am so guilty. I've taken the fun out of everything. Literally, I take the fun out of everything I like. It's this cool thing, and I like doing it. And then once it becomes a thing, I'm just like, no, I don't want to do that. I did that with like content, streaming, yeah. music, DJing. Like there will be a point in time where I'm almost like, I start avoiding it.
Yes.
And I take the whole fun out of it. But then it's like, that's been like a big thing for the last few months is just like
Bro.
Getting back to the fun of it. Because it's, that's what people like. People like seeing you having fun doing it. Not you just being like, is this good?
Bro, it's been so hard for me to make videos lately. Like the last 3-4 months I've been in a slump. And it takes... I just have days where I'm like, all right, let me just bang out as much content because I feel it right now. Mm-hmm. But it's become such a numbers game and, man, in my groin versus what I'm putting out. Is engagement good? All right, I'm going to spend the first hour engaging with people who comment on this video. And it's like, a part of me like completely understands that's a byproduct of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You have to market. You have to come up with creative techniques to get people engaged with your shit, and within that first hour is when you know shit can really take off, or you know it lives or die. But it's also like, man, I'm giving so many people so much power over my content.
Yeah.
I'm giving their thoughts, their suggestions, their comments so much power
over something you wanted to do and you like. it's the psychology behind all of this is insane, and I see why people go crazy doing this. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's taxing, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I had to tell myself. Like, shut your ass up. You like, bummed because you have to play video games? Because, you know what I mean? Like, you get to, like, joke around. Like, it's, like, it's fun. We be mixing up taxing with, like, horrible. Like, some people do stuff that's taxing and they hate doing it.
Yeah.
But if you love doing it and it's taxing, like... get over it. It's fun.
It's just part of it.
It's
part
fun.
You have to find that balance, though, of, you know, like, you put something up and it doesn't hit, right? All right. That's a feeling associated with that. Then there's always a second guessing yourself, too. Like, man, is this too risky? Did I not do this? You put something up and then people are like, no, this ain't it. This ain't, you know, it feels like, oh shit, this could be me getting canceled. So let me take this back. Now you start questioning your creativity.
Yeah.
Now you start putting these boundaries and lines around yourself. Like, all right, well, I can't cross this because last time I did this. And it might not have been that. It might have just been like the couple people that had caught wind to on their algorithm versus, you know, what the joke was. But we limit ourselves based on audience interaction so much that... It's sometimes crippling. I'm like, I don't feel like dealing with the shit today.
Yeah.
I just don't.
But if you think about it, like, businesses outside of us do that too.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all part of it. Even if it's like paper or cement mix, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? They have to break down and be like, okay, we almost messed up this time. Blah, 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 blah. It's all the same work, but it's dope when you get to do it with something that you love. I think it's just about like slapping yourself and being like, bro, you tripping. This is fun. This is fun. You're just like, you know, you just don't want to do anything really.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You would rather just be chilling.
I'm gonna let you hear this video. This is the one I was talking about right here, actually.
They're turning their hobbies into content. Okay, but once you share what you love.
Well, right, let's try it again.
Not just a hobbyist anymore. Everybody's been tricked into turning their hobbies into content. But once you share what you love, you're not just a hobbyist anymore. You're performing it. You stop creating for fun and you start creating for feedback. You like your content, but this doesn't spark you up anymore. It performs, but it doesn't move you. And that's the cost that no one's talking about. Not the failure, but losing the spark that started it all. You don't have to monetize every hobby. But if you do, do it with care. Build it slow, build it true, and build it around love, not likes. Because when your work is rooted in joy, growth becomes the side effect, not the goal. Everybody's been tricked.
That's tough. Yeah. It's like when you plank. You ever been on a plank and you have to plank for like a minute and you're just staring at the timer?
Mm-hmm.
That minute turns into 5 hours.
Oh, immediately. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or like when you're like, it's just about distracting yourself. Mm-hmm. And if it's fun... you look up and it's like, man, 2 years passed and I grew this much. But if you're like every video, like, okay, what's the numbers? What's the numbers? It's crazy. I just followed this page today. It was like one of those IG pages that's like does the same video every single day.
Mm.
And it just says this and this daily. And I looked at the numbers. This was the same video every single day. And it was like 8,000, 200, 90,000, 300,000, 700. And I'm like, this is the same video. If you're used to just dropping different stuff all the time, you might think like, damn, I dropped this video, it didn't do well, it sucked. But it's like that same video just hit the algorithm in different ways at different times. And that's what I'm like, bro, there's so many random elements to this for me to be in my head slowing myself down. If you if a video didn't do well, just post it in like a week. It might do completely different. It's not about good or bad. It's just not that anymore.
It's real. That's real, bro. It really is. And I think that it's there's always a paradigm shift where, like, it goes back to the people that genuinely are having fun. I think that's why Kai is so successful.
Yeah.
Because he really just be having fun. He really is just a kid, like, who found a lane.
Yep.
He got his team with him. He's doing right by people. And, like, people fuck with his energy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when he gets into it with somebody, he's never on the microphone like, yo, I'll fucking kill you. I'll run to your house. He was like, yo, like, I'm a fucking kid. Like, you coming at me like this? He always comes from a super non-combative way. Like, yeah. No, I'm lucky to be doing this. I'm blessed to be doing this.
Yeah.
And I think that resonates with people. That authenticity resonates with people.
Oh, yeah.
And we all are chasing that to a certain degree. Sometimes it just takes longer for other people to get there because, you know, you don't know that path or you get distracted by the numbers, by the comments and shit, instead of just, like, moving forward, you know, like, with your head down, like, it's just like keep just pushing forward, man.
You could tell the difference. I feel like Kai is like the epitome of like work ethic plus personality mixed and like genuine energy. But it seems like in this game, there's so many people trying to move like business.
Yeah.
That you kind of like the people who move, like you're saying, they stand out. That's why, like, the new young person from New York, from this, who has a cool story and a new sound, that always blows up because he wasn't in an office building at a record label, like, what song should I do to be popping? You know, it's like it's like a genuine, real reaction that people want to be a part of. And that I don't think that can really happen if you're trying like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need to be trying for the work ethic part, but I feel like a lot of it has to feel like you're actually having fun, because or else you just feel like an industry plant.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. And if you're trying to switch it up with your dinner suggestions or ideas, then you should try Factor, okay? I've talked about Factor a couple of times because between busy schedules and summer plans, sometimes all you got is a couple of minutes. And Factor helps me eat smarter with tasty chef-prepared meals that are dietitian approved and delivered right to my front door. And now with more than 65 weekly meals made for how I live and what I like to eat, I've got even more ways to fit in a real meal wherever the day takes me, whenever that may be. One of the things I love the most about Factor is that the food is never frozen. It's always refrigerated. Comes to your door refrigerated, chill. You put it in the refrigerator. Don't keep it in the freezer. Takes 3 to 5 minutes to heat up, no matter what the meal is. I love that. And it is seasoned. I'm not going to sit up here and hold y'all. I ain't going to cap to you. I wouldn't sit up there and tell you the food ain't seasoned if it wasn't seasoned, because I know y'all would hit me up. I know y'all be in my comments. We was just talking about comments, but this would be good reason to be in my comment. Like, yo, you said this shit was seasoned, and it's not. It is, okay? The food is good. The food is seasoned. You get to support your wellness goals. Enjoy even more GLP-1 friendly meals. And now they have new Mediterranean diet options packed with protein and good-for-you fats. They got savory global flavors. For the first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. I love Factor. And whenever they want to send that other pack, go ahead and holler at your boy, because I will absolutely take it. Now, eat smart at factormeals.com/DIYS50off and use the code DIYS50off to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for a year. That code is DIYS50off. That's 50OFF at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for a year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase.
Shout out to Factor.
Yeah, feel
shout
me.
Out to Factor. What kind of stuff you been scared of? What you been scared of lately, huh?
Ooh, getting fat. When I went back to St. Louis in Chicago, I went to Chicago to do a show with Corey Bell. Then I went to St. Louis for like 4 or 5 days, and I went back to Chicago. We had to do some promo for Churchy. And that Friday night, Kev took us to Joe's Seafood. Saturday, we did Maple and Ash in Chicago. And then Sunday, we did Tavern. Kev put his card down, so it was like, get what you want. I was wilding.
What'd you get?
Oh, tomahawks, Ooh. Lobster tails.
Oh, you really was like cocktail. Anything.
What,
huh?
What? Listen, he said get it, bro. And I had every, they had a, I think I took a picture of it. I think it was an ID. I don't give a fuck. What is that drink? I don't.
Adios?
No, it was a, wasn't a Manhattan. What's the other one? I'm finna pull it up though. Cosmo. I think that drink was. Old fashioned. Might have been a, I don't give a fuck, old fashioned. But I'm finna pull that bad boy up.
I don't think I could drink anything that's cold. I don't give a fuck.
What I mean is like, you don't give a fuck if you're gonna spend the money.
Oh, because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they meant what. Okay, I'm about
yeah,
to do.
I don't give a fuck, old fashioned. It was $85. Oh. Yeah, 21 year old, aged something.
So it was mainly expensive because of the liquor they used?
I guess, bro. I don't know. I would never know.
You was running Kev up.
I didn't buy it. I didn't get this. I didn't. It had chocolate truffle bitters.
Oh my God.
A maple reduction. Yeah, it was a lot of stuff on there. Glenfiddich, 21 year old Glenfiddich. Yeah, I'm
ordering
that
that's too special, too like stressful because I feel like my hopes would be too high. Every element of it, I'd be like, what's worth 85 though?
They also had the option, the I don't give a fuck option for your entree. So basically, you would pay $225, and they would just bring you out food like the ricotta, the slow roasted swordfish, the fire roasted chicken, the turbot. I don't even know what that is. The gallison. You ever ate that
turbot's
before?
Turbot's a fish.
Turbot. T U R B O T.
Yeah.
Galician turbot. Turbo.
It's like this. A fish.
Oh. Oh, oh, no. No.
Can you put G-A-L before turbo? G-A-L Galician?
Yeah, that's probably what a Galician. G-A-L-I-C-I-A-N.
Galician turbo, yeah.
Galician? Oh, that's the
term. Is that a place?
It's probably like, yeah.
First of the species.
Ew. Is that not a
high quality? No, this is some of the stuff that they would pull out if you did the I don't give a fuck entree and they just keep bringing your food. Now, the grilled diver scallops were fire as hell because they had this crazy seafood platter and they got all of the seafood. They got scallions, they got clams, they got oysters, they had crab legs, they had lobster, and all the juice that is sitting in after you finish, they bring out this like buttery, cheesy pasta. Pour it in the juice, mix it up, and then they serve the pasta with the seafood juice infused in it.
That's what y'all got?
Yeah. It was fire. I'm not gonna hold you. That was fire.
Okay, this is Chicago.
Maple and ash. Yeah.
So can you still eat a lot?
Me?
Yeah.
I can. Like the Ozempic definitely used to curb my appetite. Now, my appetite is so frequent now because of how much I work out. Like I wake up hungry and I was never one of those people, but like now I have to eat pretty quickly when I wake up. But now because I'm trying to lose this 10 pounds that I gained while I was on the road and shit, and I was still working out, but I'm also like lifting now, so some of it could be muscle. But now I'm intermittent fasting, so I'm not eating before 12 and I'm not eating after 7.
After
and
then I'm 7 working. every day.
Ooh. I'm just only do it for like a week and a half. So I can drop that 10, make sure, I want to make sure that I can still do it. I'm still in control of it every time. Uh-huh. So if I do this and I'm like, okay, cool. So I know some of this was muscle because I was in the gym every day in the hotel that we were in Chicago. The Chicago Miracle Mile Marriott has one of the best, if not the best Marriott gym in the country.
Wow.
I would start the workout with the row. I would row for 15 minutes and then I do some light weights. I do some stretches. I do the machine that you can like lift the thing. You can do all the exercises with the resistance rope. I did the Stairmaster for 35 minutes, and then I would do the treadmill on the incline for another 10 minutes.
What makes the gym good?
Bro, just the options. They had probably 15 Pelotons. It's just in its own section. They have a yoga section. They have a stretching section. They had 20 treadmills. They had Stairmasters, elliptical machines. They had two roaring machines. They had like that workout box thing with the yellow straps and all of that shit. Mm. It was just an amazing. The options were, I never felt crowded. And I was in there when it was packed and I never felt crowded. I was never waiting on a machine. It was just amazing. It was very clean, smelled good. TVs everywhere. It was great. It felt like a gym for a gym instead of a gym in a club. And they have a garden on top of the gym? No, of the hotel. And a lot of the fruits and vegetables and even the honey they use in all the stuff that they make at the hotel.
In the kitchen?
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Did you get to go up there? Or is that like staff?
We was ripping and running and stuff. But like I saw that and I was that's like, fire. Damn.
What? That's this is a Marriott?
Yes. The Miracle Mile Marriott.
That's so fire.
In Chicago. Because I took a picture of it and I was like, well, that's fucking, here it is right here, look.
I'm all for gardens.
Ingredients couldn't be more local. Our rooftops, garden, vegetable, and honey from our beehives are featured in many hotels.
Is that a beehive on the roof?
Yes.
That's dope. That's so dope.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Ooh. When I leave town this week, I'm about to be part of this club. Because for me, traveling and vacationing was just an excuse to eat whatever and just like not work out. But now that I'm doing one-a-days... Last May, I went to Vancouver for a week. Mm-hmm. It took me the rest of the month to recover. I was eating whatever, doing whatever. But now I feel like I really want to do hotel gyms.
Yo, no, take your stuff with you, bro. I had forgot my workout shoes in St. Louis. So I'm working out in the CDGs. I got the Chucks on. Mm-hmm. But I'm working out. I got it in every day I was there. And when I was in St. Louis, I still walked 4 miles. And it was hot. I mean, it was like 89 by 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. So, but I still, inhuman, still got that walk in. But I was wild. I ain't gonna hold you in St. Louis, boy. I got a little bit of that emo.
Emo?
Hey, Emo's is a St. Louis pizza. They use Provel. Ooh. You remember when we got to St. Louis and rented the house?
We didn't get no pizza though, right?
Yes, we did. We got it the same night we had the event. We ordered the pizza before
I went to go get it, and then we came back
with the pizza, and then we went to the event.
Yeah, it was called Emo's.
Yeah, Emo's. They use Provel instead of mozzarella.
I don't even know what that is.
Provel is a cheese.
Yeah, I figured it was a cheese. Is it kind of like provolone? Why are they so close?
Provel.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that being really good.
Look at that. Look at that. The hallmark of St. Louis, Missouri cuisine.
Oh, this is specific.
Nobody else be fucking with the Provel besides St. Louis, baby.
That's so random. I've never heard of that type of cheese.
Yeah, man. Shit's good as fuck.
That's lit. Yeah, I'm and what's crazy is like when I look up to like book hotels, the nicer they are, the more the gym is a part of the website.
Mm.
And then, you know what I mean? Like the nicer, and it made me think two things. Number one, when you're apartment shopping and you're like, damn, the amenities are great, but these rooms aren't that great. It's like you're paying for the amenities.
Yeah.
So I want to start using it. But another big thing is like the mentality of the people staying in these hotels be in the gym every day or a couple times a week.
Bro,
so I'm like,
all right. It's really the discipline, bro. Like I've been ruminating on this for like the last week and a half, and I've heard it in a number of rap songs. Whatever you appreciate, appreciates. And for me, that was like, damn, I used to always be in somebody's club, throwing a party, throwing a night. Yeah, anywhere I go, I ain't got to pay for a drink, right? But that's because I'm appreciating this place. I'm giving this place all my time, all my energy, which is cool. I get a free drink, sometimes a free fries and shit like that. I would rather appreciate the gym. I would rather appreciate my work ethic on making these videos. I would rather appreciate DJing and getting better at this shit. Because, like, whatever you put that energy into, that's what you're going to get back from. And it's like, bro, I ain't been fucking up and slacking, but I could definitely restructure some things in, as far as order of importance in my life. And right now, like, that's the energy I'm on. Like, I want to appreciate reading or listen to books more. I want to gain as much knowledge as I can. And that's why I do the audio books, is if while I'm driving or I'm at the gym, I still can be learning and feeding myself. And I've been also I made a morning playlist that I play this before I listen to any rap, any music that could like affect my energy for the day. Mm-hmm. This playlist has like instrumentals on it. It has jazz on it. It has Erykah Badu, but every song means something to me.
Okay.
And I started getting out the shower in the morning before I do my walks, and I just look in the mirror and I say these positive affirmations to myself. You are powerful. You are strong. You are disciplined. You are loyal. You set boundaries to protect yourself and others. And I do this. And it's like I got like 8 different paragraphs I had got from my brother. He just told me he started doing this a couple years back, and it just really made a change because he was telling me, he's like, as humans, we are designed to go to the worst case scenario when we think about something that's wrong, right? We automatically be like, oh man, I think this could happen or this could happen. He's like, what if we just change the switch and like just expected the best to happen? We automatically go to the worst, but like, what if you change your mindset and really just expected the best to happen?
Yeah.
And he's been working on that for years, and it's like, takes a lot of discipline. He says, as he does his positive affirmation, he goes out on his porch and he looks at a tree off in the distance, and he focuses on a tree on a distance, and he just sits quietly and focuses on that tree and let everything else just disappear.
That's
and
meditation.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. He's like, that has really helped him. And like, that's what I've been trying to incorporate and just get this brand new mindset, because I don't know. I just feel like it's really been helping lately. And the fruit of the labor is Churchy coming out, coming out tomorrow. I auditioned for a different role for the Varnell Hill show.
Really?
I auditioned for this one comedian role and didn't get it, but they was like, yo, we really want him. He doesn't even have to audition for this other thing. We're going to use the audition tape from the other character, but we want to offer him this role.
Wow.
And then the numbers was kind of low. My agent was like, I tried to push for more. And then it was like,
hey, numbers?
Yeah, for what they were paying me.
Oh, okay.
Right? He's like, I'll try to push for more. But then it was like, hey, if he can come in and do the table reads, we'll pay him basically triple what we were offering per week.
Because of table reads?
Yeah, really? Because that's so like, the day rate is coming in the day of. They might send the script the night before or something like that. You just know your lines. Mm. But the table read is where everybody sits around, we read it together, and then sometimes we get up and we do the blocking for it. So when we do go to the scenes, we already know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to waste time like, okay, you need it over there.
But you get paid already for those remember. Days. Yeah.
So now I'm going to get paid for those days, and I get triple what they will offer me at first.
That's fire. I mean, I would want to do the blocking and stuff.
You would think so. But you know what? But so nowadays, they make it very easy. Like, I didn't do the blocking on the first day because the paperwork wasn't done, but somebody records it. So when they're doing the blocking, somebody's recording with their phone. They put all of that in a Google Drive, and they sent that to me. So when we did go to the scenes, I already knew I was at just by looking at the footage on the thing. Mm-hmm. So it was, oh, shit, you were here? I was like, no, but I looked at it. I was like, oh, perfect.
Oh, when you weren't there, you could see the blocking.
Yeah, because they put it in the file, and it was just good to go.
Interesting.
Yeah, man, it's come a long way, bro. So I'm just thankful that things are moving this way. And also thankful for everybody that's continued to watch Churchy. Let's run the goddamn numbers up. Don't think it stopped, all right? We need to run it up until they give us that season 3. So please watch Churchy right now, season 2. I appreciate that show so much. They really let me get in my bag, bro.
That's so,
they
it's
really
so dope,
let me
man.
Get in my bag. The first show that's ever done that. And I was number 3 on the call sheet.
Nice.
Number 3 or number 4 on the call sheet. First time ever in life. They ain't make me take my nose rings out. They ain't try to cut my tattoos.
They typically tell you to take this?
Absolutely. Every time. Shit. I have to flip this bad boy up. Boom. Take the loop out. Boom. Because it's a pop-out joint. So I take that out. And they cover up the neck, wrists.
With what?
Wrists.
Makeup?
Yep.
Damn.
Every time, man. This is the first.
You had all your tattoos the whole time, Churchy?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Every one of them, man. So shout out to them, man, and shout out to y'all for continuing to run it up. Outside of that,
let's
make sure you check out Bauer Brothers. We're coming to a city near you. It's going to be crazy. Go ahead and grab your tickets for that. Pat?
We leaving?
Yeah, man. It's time to get up out of here.
Time to get up out of here. Planet Sandwich every Wednesday at 6 p.m. It is my live show on Twitch and YouTube. Pull up. It's a lot of fun.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
We'll see you next week on another episode of Damn, Internet. You scary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.